The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep. But since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things that they had seen. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. We really have been sharing a special season in the life of St. Andrews. Times of transition, of being in between, are always one of the places where God is most obviously present. We have a contrary impulse, of course, a desire to wait until we can be settled at last in the promised land and build a permanent altar before we make space for encounter with the Holy. We do so love the illusion of our ability to create permanence, and we do so love our sense of stability. Yet in the midst of transition, God has surely been. We are concrete people, and there's always something difficult about the psychogeography, our mental experience of placeness as pertains to movement. When riding the ferry, and particularly when riding the ferry home, I often find that there are thoughts and problems that I am entirely unwilling to think about until at last I can be back inside my house, beneath my roof, safely ensconced within those familiar walls. To be able to be still, and in one place, especially one place we know very well, offers a sense of containment and stability within which we can perhaps face just about anything. Now, when I was a teenager, I lived on the Hawaiian island of Oahu and saw the world around me defined by the flux of people in and out, traveling to a place inside the mind where they could at last allow themselves to relax, where they could at last unwind. And their projections, their fantasies lined the walls of tourist districts, of resorts, and of all other outposts of that strange thing called vacation. And that whole experience rests, in fact, on a kind of illusion not so different to stage magic, an elaborately choreographed sense of otherness that can exist outside of the rest of life. You go out to a place for only a few days, and you experience intense moments of pleasure or of rest in a container that feels like it's just for you. While locals use hidden entrances, elaborate staging areas, and service elevators to create the experience of at once the impossibly exotic and on the other hand the freely accessible, ready to answer your every whim. And when your vacation ends, maybe a once-in-a-lifetime vacation, an experience that lives on in your mind, the locals are already setting up to put on the show again and again and again. And you meet people sometimes who would move out there because of some kind of fantastic enchantment that has possessed them. You'd hear people saying, "The islands were calling me," in an impossibly California accent. That kind of thing. And food prices would often be the first crack in the illusion, followed perhaps not long after by the high rate of homelessness, particularly the homelessness of native Hawaiians who have to wait a very long time to be allowed access to a place to live on their ancestral lands. Next would be a creeping sense of claustrophobia, driving again and again around the perimeter road on the island and finding that there is no more land into which one can expand. And the frustrating realities of utility bills and local politics settle in after a time, and pretty soon those people whom the islands were calling are back on a plane to somewhere else with a one-way ticket, with stories about how the local culture is cruel and the island's infrastructure is backwards. And in each of those disappointments, there was, in fact, the opportunity, the missed opportunity, to some kind of transformation, a transformation that would have arisen from real relationship with the experience of living in that actual place. But that life, that way of living, that way of being is different to anything that was expected. You learn very quickly why locals use rice as a central staple in the diet, because it ships well by really slow boats. So it's cheap. In fact, it's abundant. And you learn to make kimchi fried rice and spam musubi and to eat plates of chili over the top of perfectly cooked short grain white rice from California, of all places. And you find, if you're really lucky, you find that the depth of connection with other people and with local culture is more sustaining than venturing out again and again to the end of every road. You put down roots wherever you can be nourished by what is actually there, instead of desperately seeking after what is absent. You will never be fed by what is missing, and nor is vacation a place to which you can move. Wherever we are, we certainly will be confronted by the banalities and disappointments of life, by the pain of a hurting world, by even our own shortcomings. And there too is that invitation to find that God is with us, that the holy is breaking in, and that God's chosen and beloved are all around us. Real relationships with the places where we find ourselves, the people we find ourselves surrounded by, is one of the best, maybe one of the only ways that we can find out what God is really up to. We may not know, a priori, how God has been present in different places to different people, people living with a different reality than us. But what a joy it is to be able to simply ask them, and to find out.
And now Peter has a profound encounter with the Holy on the side of the mountain in our gospel this morning. And as Peter is wont to do, he concretizes the experience and suggests perhaps making a dwelling place for each prophet who stands before him, past and present. I'm sure it would make a remarkable site of pilgrimage. And the invitation in that moment is for him to see the great and holy dialogue which reaches across time, how one prophet speaks to another, and how Christ was always and everywhere a part of the conversation with Moses and Elijah, a conversation which humanity had previously only been able to see one half of. And Peter stands before the fullness of that circle, including that voice which comes from everywhere and nowhere, which is outside of time and speaking to every time, which proclaims from that cloud, that disturbing, darkening cloud, exactly who and whose Christ will always be. That isn't something you can fit within a room. It can't be contained within some finite vessel, and you can't establish it as a destination as easily as some kind of roadside attraction. You can't make the holy into somewhere you can simply go and expect it to show up for you, as though it were some kind of rare and wild beast captured and kept in a zoo to be studied, to be shared. No, the holy is all wrapped up in those entrances and staging areas and elevators that only the locals and the workers know. The holy is on the ferry and in the engine room and deep beneath the sea. The holy is kitchen tables and apple trees, and only somewhere very far down that list are the places of pilgrimage, those places that we think we have to go to in order to find God. When we make a pilgrimage, and it's important to make a pilgrimage, it's not because of the destination any more than the vacation can be made simply into the destination, some place. It's not a material reality that we simply need to occupy, but an experience of yearning, of searching, of preparation, and of, at last, being able to reach that which was with us all along. Pilgrimage allows us to experience the wilderness we've rushed through, rather than taking us to a final destination in some promised land. And the encounter with the holy isn't somewhere you move to. It's something which moves you and which animates everything you do. It's something you bring with you everywhere you go, which you carry and share to everyone you meet, whether you want to or not. Communities are blessed by pilgrims, with people who can endure the wilderness and the journey, because they can tell us and remind us of what has always and already been present, of who we always and already were. And so this time of transition, this has been a time to encounter God, and it remains exactly that. It's been a reminder of the wilderness in which we live and move and have our being. It has been a calling home to the in-between places from which we try to hide. Somewhere, the Spirit has been moving inside you. At some point, you have seen something holy happen in our midst. Do not be surprised when you are disappointed at your arrival in the real relationships that await you in the promised land, and don't take it out on Kelly. But remember that the next leg of the journey is but another invitation to the pilgrimage and the wilderness, too. All of us are interims. All of our times are very short. The poet John O'Donohue offered this small blessing for one who is exhausted. You have traveled too fast over false ground. Now your soul has come to take you back. Take refuge in your senses. Open up to all the small miracles you rushed through. Become inclined to watch the way of rain when it falls slow and free. Imitate the habit of twilight, taking time to open up the well of color that fostered the brightness of day. Draw alongside the silence of stone until its calmness can claim you. Be excessively gentle with yourself. Amen.